It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of Behind the Braves, the official podcast of the Atlanta Braves. I'm your host, Senior Manager of Digital Media Content for the Atlanta Braves, Ricky Mast. Glad, as always, to be here with you. Got a great show for you today. We'll get into that and our guest here momentarily. Before we do, I did want to throw this out there to all of our Behind the Braves listeners, something a little fun we're going to try out, and probably a long time coming, a long overdue, I would say. If you'd like to email us a question or comment on the show, you can now do that. You can send your note or question to btb@braves.com. That's btb@braves.com. It's easy to remember, only three letters, btb@braves.com. So if you have any questions or anything you've wondered about here with the Braves or what goes on here in the office or stuff going on with the team or anything at all, please feel free to email us at btb@braves.com, and who knows, we might just read and answer your question on the air, all right? So looking forward to hopefully hearing some of your questions and comments or feedback on the show. In the meantime, though, for today, we've got one of my best friends in the world, one of my favorite people. You know him, of course, from his work with Braves Radio Network and as the host on pre- and post-game shows all throughout the season of Braves games, Kevin McAlpin. He's on with us here. Of course, he's a recurring guest here on Behind the Braves. Again, like I mentioned, one of my favorite people, and it's always great to talk baseball with Kevin. So we figured with the 2024 season so close now, in fact, as this episode is coming out, we're about a week away from opening day, which is just amazing. We made it through the winter. We're finally here. Opening day is right around the corner. So we figured this would be a great time to catch up with Kevin and do a little season preview of your 2024 Atlanta Braves. So let's get right into it. Here he is, Kevin McAlpin. Well, Reverend, it's great to have you as always. Can you believe it? It was my anniversary was 2 days ago. You married my wife Laura and I 2 days or a year ago, this past Monday. And are you still able to perform ceremonies and weddings and things that men of the cloth perform?
Well, as a matter of fact, Ricky, and by the way, congratulations. 1 year is a long time to be married. Let me just throw that out there.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah, believe me. But I'm actually researching baptisms now because we know that your family will be expanding. So yes, still qualified. My 1995, I got the card. I can get on the New York City subway for free if I so choose. I can park in the clergy spots at the hospital. So yeah, I'm still card-carrying member and Rev Kev for hire. I'll be busy for the next 7 months or so, but you know, next offseason, let me know. I'm around.
Okay, all right, good. Well, the baby's coming sometime May or June, so get the I don't know. You bring like a bowl. Do you just get like a salad bowl and put some water in it, or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Okay, some hose water, you know, out the back porch. That's holy enough, you know. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
The website where you got your credentials to marry us, they probably sell some goods for baptisms as well.
They've got everything. I'm still not, I got to say, full disclosure, I'm still not overly thrilled with your much better half, Laura, because she wouldn't allow me to do the robe and the custom shirt. I had to keep the by the power vested in me by the Universal Life Church. So, no, all kidding aside, it was a beautiful, hard to believe it's been a year already, man.
I know. Like, it feels like it was last weekend.
Time just zips on by, doesn't it?
Yeah, we had the we did the thing where you put the piece of wedding cake in the freezer and then eat it on the 1 year anniversary.
How'd that turn out? Because ours was not good.
It wasn't great. And yeah, the cake the day of was great.
Yes,
The 1 year old cake, not as great. I split it and it was like one like small circle of cake, so I split it in half and gave her half. And it's been sitting in the freezer for a year, and so like chunks of the side just fell off, and it's just I said, well, here you go. And she'd been talking about this for months, and she's like, well, this feels a little anticlimactic. I'm like, I don't know what you're expecting out of a frozen cake, but anyway.
We have someone in our family on Melissa's side, as a matter of fact, that had such a big piece of the cake. They do it every year.
Oh, really?
And they've been doing it for like 7 or 8. I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, a year seems like you've really pushed the envelope. Anything beyond that, like, I'm out.
Yeah, just not go to doing it. Just go to Kroger and get a new one.
Right.
It'll be better.
They're $19.95. As much as it costs to get ordained.
That's right.
You can get yourself a new cake.
There you go.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, all right. Well, on that note, when we're not talking about Kevin's duties as a man of the cloth and officiating weddings and whatnot, we talk a little baseball. Kevin, you're getting ready for how many seasons is this for you for the Braves Radio Network?
This is my 13th season already. Can you believe that?
Holy cow.
Right? Which means I've spent a third of my life in the city of Atlanta, which is mind-boggling to think about it in that kind of perspective. But yeah, got here in 2012. I think Chipper took one look at me walking in the clubhouse and went, call the press conference. I'm done. I'm out. I'm not dealing with this kid from Philly. But yeah, 13th season, and this will be my fifth season in studio already, hosting pre and post game. That math checks out. That's wild. Crazy.
So one of your first assignments then when you got the job with the radio network was covering Chipper's retirement announcement. Is that right? That was that first year?
Yeah. It's funny because I actually had some friends come down from Philadelphia. They're like, oh, we'll just come hang out with you at spring training. And all of a sudden I'm getting this text at like 7:30 in the morning, like there's a press conference in 45 minutes, get to the ballpark, Chipper is going to speak. And we're like, uh-oh, like I gotta go, boys, I'm out of here. So yeah, that was the big first thing that I did was covered. And then of course being along for the ride, you know, his final season and seeing all the great giveaway items that they got, you know, the surfboard in San Diego and the grill and the sausages in Milwaukee and all kinds of really cool, the Stetson hat in Houston. Like, I hope he kept a lot of that stuff. He could have one heck of a museum of artifacts if he just kept all of his final season presents.
Yeah, no kidding. That was a fun season too, despite the ending with the wild card game. It was a heck of a season, quite the first season for you to cover. It's crazy to think about your first year in 2012, how different everything about the team is now, or just, I mean, in that amount of time, 13 years, every team's going to pretty much completely change. Yeah. It'd be rare that there's going to be anybody left from a team that was there 13 years ago, but just think about everything that has evolved and changed since then. We were at Turner Field, didn't even know there was going to be another ballpark to replace Turner Field at that point, and now we're coming up on year seven or eight in this ballpark?
2017... Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That is crazy, right? Yeah.
Think about how I thought about this. I was telling some neighbor friends the other night. We had a big event in our neighborhood, and I was talking about when I started this job, I was still younger than half the guys in the clubhouse. Now when I hear people talk about, oh, Charlie Morton, he's the old guy, I'm like, I'm 2 years older than Charlie, so now I'm the old guy. Like, that kind of stinks when you put it in that perspective. Like, I was the same age or even younger than guys in that room. Now I'm going like, man, I'm older than even the old dudes. So that kind of cuts deep a little bit. You know?
You don't look a day over 24, though.
I feel way over it, believe me.
It's perception is more important here. Don't worry about
No doubt.
Well, let's get into talking about the 2024 season a little bit. Obviously, a lot of expectations on the Braves, so I'll bounce around. I just got a few things I wanted you just to hear your take on, as folks can do all throughout the season on Braves Radio Network when Kev's with you on pregame, postgame shows, and the clubhouse report every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday, 2 to 2:30. Thank you for the plug.
Absolutely.
Atlanta Braves Today, 7:45 with the locker room. We podcast galore. Not anything as riveting as what you put out, but you know, we try to keep the baseball even in the off season. But yeah, it's coming up, man. We're about to hit the ground running.
So what are just some, I'll get into some specific asks here in a moment, but just general thoughts as we're heading into this season, just about this Braves team and what you're seeing, what you're hearing, and what you're feeling about this team.
Well, it feels like a team that is, and I'm not going to say that they weren't focused in years past, but listening to Snit on the Behind the Braves, which you guys do an unbelievable job with, and I'm glued to that thing every spring training, you know, his address to the team. Yeah, we had a great year last year. We did a lot of unbelievable things. But we fell short of our ultimate goal. And I think that message has been, you know, disseminated by a lot of guys in that clubhouse where, yeah, look, division titles are great, right? We've won six in a row. That's a blast. Our ultimate goal is a lot higher than that, right? 2018, 2019, you were just happy with getting back to the playoffs. It had been a long time. You went through the rebuild. But I think to a man, everybody in that room now is focused on, if we don't win a World Series, okay, it's great. We hit 307 homers, right? We hit a million. We scored a million first inning runs, but ultimately you fell short of your goal. So, look, Braves fans are so lucky to be in that position to hear that message, right? Because we talk about it, hope springs eternal for 30 teams. They go to spring training, but let's be honest, it's like 8 to 10 teams realistically have a shot to do something special every single year. You're hearing that messaging now from this team where, okay, yeah, winning a division title would be great. Getting a few extra days off is fine, but they want to win a World Series. They know their window of opportunity is wide open. I think Alex has done such a great job with putting together a group that can not only win now, but next year, 5 years from now, and hopefully a lot longer than that. That's rare in this game where, you don't see that. I go back to the Nationals of 2019, where it looked like they were going to be the team for the next decade. And very quickly, that thing fell apart on them. You know, Scherzer's over there, Soto's there, and the core is Strasburg can't stay healthy, so it goes away very quickly. So I think Braves fans should appreciate, going to camp and hearing that messaging year after year. And so I think that they're a really focused, a hyper-focused group to not only win the division, but that's like sort of step one. Okay, we did that, check, now it's on to the next one. And I think that everybody that I've heard speak this spring has echoed those sentiments, and I really do think they're all on the same page when it comes to, if we don't win a World Series, it sort of takes away some of the shine of what you do for 162.
I'm so glad you said that, because I 1,000% agree with that. That, to me, you mentioned the Behind the Braves spring training docuseries that comes out on the Braves YouTube. I actually just saw a first cut of the season finale about an hour ago, and that mantra is, just a spoiler alert for anybody watching, that is, if there's one big message in this final episode, and it's been there all throughout, and it's not just Behind the Braves docuseries, it's been comments that the guys and Snit and the coaches have made to the media down there. It's World Series or bust for this team. That's a phrase that they're using. I love that you specifically referenced Snit's address to the team. And when he addresses the entire team at the beginning of spring training, when the first full day of the whole team being there and reporting, the message is usually, hey, our first step, our first goal is we're going to win that division. And not that it isn't this year. It is. But the message for even from Snit was, we fell short of our ultimate goal last year. I loved, there's a little moment in the first episode for this year where he's talking about everywhere he goes, people are asking him about it. When he'd be in Costco, people are asking him about it. I love that little line. And, the guy's got a chuckle out of that. But I love that he, as he put it, he's happy to keep answering those questions, or to keep answering that question. What happened to you guys? Why didn't you? Because he wants those expectations to be high. We all do. But all of those guys, there's been times where maybe not people dancing around it, but maybe you wouldn't want to just come out and say, World Series or bust, because not everybody wants to be that guy that has the big splashing headline. All these guys are saying it, and I love that. I love that that's the mentality. That's what their mentality should be.
Yeah.
So I'm very pumped that that is their philosophy at this point. I think it's something we should all be really excited about, and I think, especially given the way the last two seasons have ended, that should be the way they're treating it this year. So I'm excited about that. Also excited about Adam Duvall coming back. So I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on Duvy coming back to the Braves?
Look at his numbers. They speak for themselves. 30 homers, 80 RBIs in 147 career games. I think that was a number I threw out on. Is it X now officially? It's not Twitter anymore. I can't say I tweeted it, right?
It's hard to, everybody seems to say the same thing at this point. It's like, I can't just, even people that are okay with it, it's fine. It's just like, I can't bring myself to call it X. I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
Okay, so I X'd that the other day. Yeah. 30 homers, 80 RBIs. And remember, that doesn't count postseason as well. When he had that grand slam, and you and I are sitting next to each other for game five, and I think we glanced at each other, and without saying it, we were like, they're going to win the World Series, whether it's tonight or back in Houston. You just sort of knew. And I know the game didn't end up going the Braves' way, but I love that he's back. I don't know that anybody's happier than his son. Is it Stone? Stone and Blooper are reunited. So that will be a happy reunion. But no, I think Duvall is a great guy to have in the clubhouse. And look, I think he helps you really bridge the gap of you're bringing in a Jared Kelnick who's new to this situation, and I know he hasn't had a good spring training. The numbers aren't where anybody hoped it would be, but now this hopefully maybe even takes a little more pressure off him, where, you know what, you are going to platoon a little bit. Duvall's going to get some at-bats. He's going to be able to play the field. He's still a really good defender, so I think that this should take even more pressure. I don't think Jared Kelnick should feel pressure at all, to be honest with you. When you look top to bottom in this lineup, there's enough guys to do the heavy lifting. You go play a good left field, you give us 15 home runs, and we're going to be thrilled with what you do. But I think Duvall, just that attitude he brings to the clubhouse, he's so well-respected. I know the fan base loves him. Let's be honest, anybody with the 2021 team, they're never going to pay for a beer in this town again when they come back for alumni weekends. But I love that the fact they brought him back. He can still mash against lefties. And again, like I said, to platoon a little bit, get some playing time, maybe ease Kelnick's mind a little bit. I think there's a lot to like about that move.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of focus on Kelnick this spring because he's the new guy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the, I hate to refer to him as like the new shiny toy, but everybody like, ooh, that's the big splash. That was the big splashy move. One of them before the Chris Sale move and Reynaldo Lopez to bring in Jerry Kelnick. And we all know what the prospect status was a couple of years ago with him when he got drafted, when he came into the, or became a pro baseball player. But he's still so young that I'm not nearly ready to be worried.
No.
But again, he's the new guy, so there's a lot of focus on him in the spring. Once the regular season starts, he's going to be presumably kind of like as we're sitting here taping this on Wednesday, March 20th, probably when he gets in the lineup, it's going to be where he's at today in today's lineup. He's going to be batting ninth. Mm-hmm. And I don't think once the regular season gets started, we're all going to be focused on him or hyper-focused on him like we have been throughout the spring, which is a great thing for him because he can learn on the job, essentially, and There's not going to be that pressure on him. If you're batting ninth, there's that pressure is not on you. It's a great spot for him to be in. So I'm not concerned about him at all. We meaning me and producer Victoria here, we got to interview him at Braves Fest, and I think both of us came away from it just going, all right, this guy, we like him, liked his personality, liked his attitude, and I think he's going to fit in really well here. I think this ballpark suits his game really, really well. So yeah. I'm not worried at all about him, what we see in the spring. I'm excited to see what he does once the regular season starts.
Look, if he goes down and wins a Grapefruit League batting title but hits .175 during the season, does anybody really care? No, of course not. I will say one thing that my partner Chris Domino pointed out, pulled up some film from Kelnick last year with Seattle and this year with the Braves, and the hands are a lot different position. Think about what the Braves did with Ronald when they lowered his hand position. He was sort of up behind the ear flap, and now he's down almost looking like Ronald. So, okay, he's 3 for 42, but he's working on some things, right? That's what spring training is about, getting your legs under you, working with the hitting coaches. And let's be honest, when you've got Kevin Seitzer, who's got a proven track record, look what he's done with Ronald and with Austin Riley. You've got Chipper Jones at home games. You got some pretty good guys that you can be around, not counting everybody else in that lineup. I do think that this is an opportunity for him to just refine things, work on some things, and think about the protection that Michael Harris has gotten with Ronald behind him. Now Jared Kelnick's going to be in that position. I think his numbers will certainly really benefit from that. So like I said, you win a Grapefruit League batting title or ERA title, or you have the most wins in spring training. Last I checked, that's not an automatic ticket to the big dance. So, you know, again, spring training stats to me can be so misleading and so, you know, it can get you so focused on the wrong things that I don't put a whole lot of stock in spring training numbers.
Same. Somebody on X, Twitter X, somebody X'd the other day. I don't remember who it was, but somebody in the Braves X community put out some, I don't know, from the last 15, 20 years, I think they put top, the guys with the highest OPS in Braves spring training. And there were some, you know, there was Ronald Acuna was on there. There was a Freddie Freeman on there. But there were some guys on there that I'm like, I forgot that guy was even in spring training with the Braves one year. And that's just goes to show you, it's just you can't put too much stock in that. Even in a regular season, what, 50 at bats or 40 or whatever it is, it's such a small sample size, you know. So
was Emilio Bonifacio on that list by chance? Do you remember?
He might have been. I don't. Let's see. Our old friend Malik Smith was on there.
Sure.
Yeah. There was a wide range of names on that list. Chipper was on there, of course.
Heard of him? Yeah.
Yeah. So there were, but that was the point. It was like, yeah, some of the usual suspects you would expect to be there, but then there were guys that you would maybe even forgotten played for the Atlanta Braves. Yeah. No disrespect to them. So what do you think about Reynaldo Lopez as the presumptive fifth starter in the rotation? What are your thoughts on that, and how do you see that playing itself out as the season progresses?
I'll be honest, I've sort of come around on it a little bit. I think when they first acquired him and there was talk, is he a starter, does he stay reliever, I loved having another power arm in my bullpen. However, when I look at who else is down there now and how many different ways they can go late in the game, I talked to Snit about it a couple of months ago. I've talked to some of the guys at Braves Fest about it. There's so many, like, it's such a numbers game right now where you go, okay, where can he help us more? Can he help us two to three times a week out of the pen throwing 98, or would you rather have him every 5 days? I think what I like the most about this is it's sort of a chance for the younger guys. It buys them more time, right? And I thought Bryce Elder, while the final month and a half didn't go his way, give that kid a ton of credit, man. Like, he was going tee to green for the first time in his career. He's not the first guy that's run out of gas down the stretch. He ain't going to be the last that it happens to. So I think, you know, is Ronaldo Lopez going to make 33 starts this year? Probably not. Could I see him making 15 to 20 and then sliding him back into that role in the bullpen? Absolutely. Whether it's A.J. Smith-Shawver, whether it's Bryce Elder, Hurston Waldrop, Darius Vines, Alan Winans, you got a lot of guys down there. So I like the fact that those guys, you don't have to feel forced or rushed to get them here quicker. And think about what it means to this rotation, right? You're going to start Spencer Strider on opening day, power pitcher. You're probably going to go, I would assume, Max Fried game two, and then do you go Charlie Morton or do you go Chris Sale? Do you want to split up Fried and Sale the lefties? To me, facing Philadelphia, I wouldn't hate seeing back-to-back lefties to neutralize Harper and Schwarber, but it's only games two and three of 162. But ultimately, I like that you have a guy in Morton who's going to rely on the curveball. Now you come back with Lopez who's going to, you know, have velocity. So to me, I like the fact that they're going this direction now to start. I don't think it's a full season. Look, this could also be a situation where he gives you 15, 16, 18 starts, and now all of a sudden you're at the trading deadline. And if one of those young guys isn't ready, now does that mean you go and acquire another frontline guy? Think about what that would mean. So I like it. I've come around on it just because I think there's so much depth in your bullpen right now where, you know, hey, I like him in there starting every 5 days. Again, he's got a big arm. He's been a starter. It's not a new role for him. Really good numbers last year. So I really like the decision, at least to start the year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. It's a shrewd signing. When the signing happened, I just, like most everybody, assumed, okay, bullpen piece, love it, love that kind of signing. You need as many of those guys as you can get nowadays. But when this kind of plan first started emerging, I was pretty much the exact same as you. I wasn't too sure about it. But now as I've kind of seen, it's kind of like the larger picture is coming into focus a little bit. It makes a lot of sense to me, and I'm excited to see how it goes. So, well, let's talk about division. Phillies, biggest competition in the East. Is that how you've got it stacking up this year?
It's certainly not the Mets. No, anybody that follows knows I like to have a lot of fun with their fans. No, yeah, I think Philly is
the biggest. To say the Mets lost?
I'm going to break it out every now. I don't know if I'm going to do it every game because some of those people get really, like, really mad to the point where, like, I get a DM, they curse me out, and then they block me so I can't reply. It was kind of a fun little game we played last year. But, no, I think Philly's certainly the team that's going to give you the biggest fits. You've handled them pretty well in the regular season the last few years. Postseason, different story. But, you know, look, Zach Wheeler is, I mean, you can't ask for anything more than he's given Philadelphia. Aaron Nola's sort of been up and down, but he does re-sign to stay there. Their rotation's really solid. Their everyday lineup's really, really good. You know they're going to score runs in that ballpark. I'm curious what the Marlins look like this year. Do they take a step back? Do the Nationals maybe take a little bit of a step forward? They've had a decent offseason, and I think some of their younger players are now a year older. Some of their younger pitchers have got some more experience. So I don't think, much like we said about the Marlins, like the last 2 years, they're not going to be the pushover Marlins where you're not just going to go to Miami and sweep them and win 14 out of 18 head-to-head matchups. I'd say the same about the Nationals. I think the competition 1 through 5 in the division will be better overall. So I don't think you're going to see, you know, Washington lose 100 games. I don't know that the Marlins are a playoff team again. They might be. Starting pitching is a bit concerning for them. But, yeah, it's going to be every bit the gauntlet that this NL East has been. And I think it might even be better just because I think 1 through 5, there's talent added to some of those teams that, you know, again, the Braves historically have handled pretty well. I think if you went into that clubhouse and you talked to those guys that said it's World Series or bust, they're going to tell you the same thing. We want to face the best competition. We want to face the top guys. Mets get their closer back. Diaz is back. He's been throwing well. It's a good lineup. Starting pitching could be a bit of an issue for them, but I think overall, 1 through 5, this is probably the best this division will be that we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, I'm really excited for I'm excited the Braves are opening on the road in Philly. I really am. If it's going to be a hostile environment, as it was at the end of last year. And yes, they ended our season the last 2 years, but those kind of matchups and getting to, you know, crawling back up and going in again, facing your opponent again. That's what this is all about to me. That's what makes it fun, are those the victories, I think, are made better by the letdowns. You know, I can say that especially as a Virginia basketball fan.
We're going to get into that at some point,
the
too, right?
The ultimate letdown in 2018 led to the highest mountaintop in 2019. It made it that much sweeter.
Yeah, I figured you must have been crying last night after the
oh,
the
UMBC game reference. I see. What time's Temple play?
Hey, we won 4 games in 4 days last week. I'm thrilled.
Congratulations.
It was a good little run we went on.
Yeah,
if they would have pulled off 5 out of 5, now we would have been talking. But
sure.
A little bit short.
Yeah, but we're not.
No.
Okay, so I will say, going back to that Braves-Phillies rivalry that we've got, I thought it was cool to see this yesterday on social media. MLB kind of did a coordinated announcement of all of the opening day starting pitching matchups. There were a couple teams had TBD as their starter, so that was kind of funny reading the comments on those. But the MLB accounts essentially posed the question, which of these is the best matchup? And, of course, I'm biased because I'm thinking – Strider Wheeler, I don't know how you're beating that one. But I wanted to go through the comments and just kind of see, and it was good to see there were other great matchups on opening day, as there always are. But I think Strider and Wheeler won going away pretty easily. I love one comment I saw though that said it's definitely Strider Wheeler, and honestly, had the opening day matchup been Fried Nola, that would have been the best one as well, which I thought was kind of a cool comment as well, just to show you the rival we've got, the matchup we've got with those guys right now. It's great. Okay, last question. I don't want to make you pick a World Series matchup because I feel like that's tough. So I was going to think, just real quick, we don't have to go into full explanations or even explanations at all, just a winner of each division. Who you got?
Well, I got the Braves winning the East. I still think they're the deepest, most talented team, I would say, in baseball, 1 through 26. I would say that, you know, everyone made a big deal about the Dodgers. And, yeah, they're 1 through 3. I got up at 5:45 this morning and watched game one from South Korea, and I'm like, baseball is back. And but I still think depth wise, you know, overall body of work, roster wise, I think the Braves are better than the Dodgers. In the Central, you know, Milwaukee's sort of trending the wrong way. You know,
The NL Central is the one that I can't come to an agreement within my own brain on. That's a tough one.
I kind of like the Cubs. Just because I don't know about the Cardinals were just so bad last year. Now, that's very odd to see them in that kind of a position. So I kind of lean in towards Chicago. I kind of like what they've done the last few off seasons. This might be their time to kind of put it all together. Of course, they get their manager too. That'll be a fun. You want to talk about a rivalry now? I mean, yeah. Cubs Brewers is back. That's a thing again with Council going over there. So that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Out west, it's hard to go against the Dodgers. I mean, it really is. I don't think I'm playing the favorite on that. That's the 1-9 dead favorite horse that you're watching at the track. I don't think anybody's going to be surprised by that.
No. And we're 3-for-3. Those are the three I've picked too. I don't even know why I've got the Cubs in the Central. I'm not, as I said, I'm a little torn if I'm making my picks. Right now, as if we're sitting here March 20th, I'd go Cubs in the Central and Dodgers in the West, just like you. So yeah.
I kind of like the Orioles too in the East, in the American. I mean, like, they're such a fun team to watch, man. They're so young. They got so much talent that's made such an immediate impact. It's hard to go against what Baltimore did unless you look at Tampa and just go, well, they seem to figure out a way every year. And of course, our post-game show producer, Stu, is diehard Orioles. So he's very excited. I think the power rankings are Braves are 1 and Orioles are 3 and 4. So he's very, very excited about the season that could be for both of his teams. In the American League Central, I have no idea. I have no clue what direction. Do you have a pick for that one? Because I'm curious what you're thinking for that one.
No, I was hoping you were going to give me one. The central divisions are the ones that I'm just kind of scratching my head on.
Minnesota? I don't know. Maybe.
I think you probably go Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. The Royals signed our old friend Will Smith, and wherever he goes, they win the World Series. So maybe that's your pick. Although that doesn't mean they're going to win the division.
Right.
So, but no, I think I'd probably go Twins because I don't. Tigers, White Sox, Royals, Guardians. No, I think I think you got to go Twins. That's where I'd go. I'd go with the Twinkies.
I like it. And then it's hard to go against the defending champs, right? I mean, the Rangers and what they did last year. I mean, it's just hard to pick against them. So, yeah, that's I think I'm playing a lot of chalk here. You know, I'm not going to win a lot on my pick six at the if we were over at the watching the ponies today, but that's I feel like it's very chalky once again. Now there's always one team that sort of comes out of nowhere and surprises you and you go, "Where the heck did they come from?" maybe it is a team like the Royals that at least puts together a good first half, right? Like the Pirates last year. Remember, we were like, are they good? Are they legit? They're kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Didn't go very well after, you know, mid-May, late May. But, yeah, it's hard to go against all those.
I do remember us having in the press box in April, having that discussion last year. That was the topic of discussion one day, pregame was. It was just simply, are the Pirates good? And then we talked about it for a while. If a couple of us were talking ourselves into it, that they might be good.
Yeah. If we could live stream just some of the conversations we have, like
we'd be fired.
Well, we would be fired. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, well, we could do like a, you know, like an after dark kind of thing. You know,
yeah.
We could probably get away with a little bit more. But some of the stuff that we come up with and get hung up on, it's really bizarre.
Well, I always said that I remember telling you and Gabe Burns this, that I felt like if I could take like a screenwriting class or something and figure out, like, I could write a sitcom based on. It would be based around a group of people in a press box and the bizarre conversations they have, occasional bizarre people that show up in there.
Occasional. More than occasional, isn't it?
Okay.
And I put myself right in the middle of that.
Sure. I know. It's one of those things where I'm thinking about it sometimes. I'm like, are there bizarre people in here that I'm able to see it? Or are we all bizarre and I'm one of them and I don't have any self-awareness?
Yeah,
about
I think
it.
We're all bizarre in our own unique way.
I think you're right.
My wife tells me that on a pretty consistent basis.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Well, that's probably a good place to stop. Well, Kev, as always, thank you for taking the time. Look forward to hearing you on the Clubhouse Report today and every Wednesday on 680 The Fan and on the pregame, postgame shows all year long on Braves Radio Network.
Yeah, we're kicking it off Sunday, by the way. We're doing our little dry run. There's nothing like a pregame show, a 75-minute pregame show for a spring training game. We're going to tell you everything you need to know about every single player on both rosters, Braves and Red Sox, this Sunday.
I love that. You and Chris Domino?
Me and Domino, yeah. Okay. See if we still remember how to do it.
I think you'll pick it up.
Push the buttons, turn the mic on, off, make sure we don't say anything stupid.
Okay.
It's easier said than done sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, looking forward to it, buddy, as always. Thank you for the time, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds good, Ricky. Thanks, bud.